Blog Talk Radio.
That men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wondrous works toward men. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. He made the heavens and earth and all that is.
God. Again, this is Dr. Cassandra McDonald, pastor of CAS, My Ministries, Caring and Sharing Spirituality. I'm telling you, you've got to care and you've got to share. That's what God intended for us to do, to take His word. He said, go forth. Our first commandment was to go into the highways and byways and compel them to come. And the reason why people need compelling is just not within their natural cognition to even know what it is we have, what viability we have in Christ our Lord. How, I mean, everyone, not everyone, but most people are familiar with, you know, he came, he died, he gave his life to save us, but they don't, you know, and I'm still understanding the depth of what that means. He literally gave his life so that we could have ours. Because as it was in the beginning, Adam was one with Christ. And that's how he wants us to live, as if we're in the Garden of Eden, where he is providing out of all of our needs. He is our single source, and he provides all resources. That's what he did with Adam. And Adam was just like his father. He could speak a thing, and it would be. That's the only thing he ever had to do was speak it. He didn't have to toil. Adam didn't have to work. He didn't have to sweat. He didn't have any worries. He had no stress. Nothing. The only thing he had to do was talk with God in the evening, you know, have that beautiful worship, and just speak things into being. You know, he named all the animals, and that's what they were when he named it. And so God came to restore us. That's what it means by restoring and replenishing and just bringing us back, you know, redeeming us. Redemption is when he redeems what it once was. We were deemed to be that, so now we have to be redeemed. And through his justification, we are redeemed back to the original status if we are aware of it and if we understand it. I was just talking with one of my clients. This body is not set up to be stressful, to worry, to get mad, to be angry, to be unhealthy. All of that leads to unhealthiness. That's why God said, I would that you prosper. He wants us to have this love, joy, peace, and more and abundantly. And the finance that keeps us from worrying. We're not, Adam was not poor. He owned everything. And the people in the Bible that served the Lord, they didn't want for resources because God was their source. And he provide all the resources. That's why he tells you in the seed of Abraham, the blessing of Abraham, you are the head and not the tail. You want to be able to bless. When I was at the conference, I saw a young man, and he was part of the poster presentations. I mean, he had, you know, papers that he had printed off the printer and had them, you know, put on the poster, but actually the presentation should be one that you go to Kinko's and they print out these huge, you know, 4 feet by 7 feet, you know, these huge, or maybe it's 4 by 6 feet. But, you know, it's all one, it's shiny, and it just looks so professional. And he had all these little pieces of paper, you know, the 8.5 by 10 that you get off the printer, and he had an incredible presentation. And what he had on there was valid, but you wouldn't stop because of the presentation. And I said, the Lord told just give him what he needs to go get that printer. And so I did. And that's what I want to be able to see when I see a need, not just tell somebody, well, here's what you really need to do, but supply them with what they need to do it so that it can, you know, be done. Because so many times people will see you and they say, well, you know, I think you need this and I think you need that. And then they leave you with that. They don't supply whatever it is they're thinking. But if I'm going to make a comment on someone and want of correctiveness and say, well, you need to do this, this, I want to be able to say, and here, go do it with this, so that it's not a thought for them. I want to be able to supply that need and to help, you know, that person. And that's what God intended. So what we're talking about today is fight the good faith, fight the fight of good faith. And that's part of it, you know, validating this young man and telling him, and what I'll tell you what it was. He had signed up for the armed services. And when he came back, he has PTSD. I mean, he just And he said, and it broke out on his mom. He just, I said, is your mother alive? He goes, yes. I'm like, whew, good. Because you have these flashbacks. And so he wanted to bring and heighten the awareness that this stuff is real. You know, our people that serve us, who volunteer to put their life on the line, they come back with a lot of things that are happening that are not healthy for them. So he was bringing an awareness to this. And I said, this is worth you really engaging people in this conversation. But first of all, you have to be able to get their attention. And this presentation is not the quality that it should be. So I was able to facilitate him doing that. And I was happy to do that. And then I gave him some advice and some other things to do just to make this just roll out and add value to what he has experienced himself. And I went, wow. And that's an awful thing to have to have experienced and then come back. And the person that it shows up on is when you're engaging with your mother in an inappropriate way, just completely lost it. And it was very regretful of that, but he wanted to let people know this is real. This is really, really real. And so we want to be able to help people, to engage them, you know, to fight that faith for them, to put faith in them, to see that we hear them, you know, we understand their needs. And so, but who's the first person to tell you in the airplane, put the mask on yourself first? So you have got to be in a position at all times. That's why the Lord says be instant, in season, and out. You don't know when God's going to say, do this, do that, go here, go there. And you're dealing with your own stuff, and you're just not in a position to help anyone else because you're struggling yourself. And God said, no, take your cares and cast them on me. You know, we're his servants. He wants us to be ready in season out to help those people who are not. But I tell you, when you can get yourself in that position, it's such a blessing. It's such a blessing. And there's such a great need. Now, at this conference, I'm with my cohorts that are PhDs such as myself and, you know, have risen to that level of education and have, you know, quite a few incredible things that they're doing and going on. But guess what? We're all on the same level when it comes to being a child of God. We're just children of the King, and we need our Father. And they need, the first person I engaged with, actually, when I got there on that type of a level, was the head of this and that, very, very, very prestigious, well-published, et cetera, et cetera. And I was just able to talk about the Lord, and I said, you know, I just, and I began to just pray and speak in tongues. She says, I was praying in tongues this morning myself. I just had to go to the Spirit to have these things, you know, happen here at the conference that I needed. I didn't ask her what she believed. What I just told her, I gave her my testimony. I talked my talk. I had on my armor. I was armored up. You know, I said, we just got to pray about this. God can do anything. It's awesome. And when I prayed, I just began to speak. And so she says, I was just speaking this morning. Never met the lady before in my life. Fear of the Lord was on her. It was an amazing encountering. But I'm not going to be ashamed. If you don't know it, you don't have it. That's fine.
But that doesn't make me
hold back because of that. No way. Because I know this thing works. And I know that I'm going to share that. And engaging on that level, had no idea because I'd never met her. But I didn't care. I'm not ashamed of talking about the goodness of the Lord. And I'm not ashamed to allow the Spirit to move on me when I'm talking with them. I'm not ashamed. You know, engage with me. Ask me what it's about, and I'll be more than happy to share. God is awesome. I mean, it's just an incredible, awesome, 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 awesome thing. So I want to, as you know, or perhaps if you're just listening, our subject for this year has been armored up with my six-pack in 2016. Ready! Receive expectation, anticipating, developing you. Repeat that again. Receive expectations, anticipating, developing you. And this week, our title was Heads Up, the Battle is on. And when you're in God's army, you're armed and dangerous. You always come packing, always ready. You say, well, how can I keep myself up when things come? I tell you, since I've been doing these last few messages, every day has been huge, huge. But every day I've had to give glory. I've had to give thanks. It's made me, I just resorted to laughing. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I mean, my place being ruined, water leakage, water damage. I'm talking about not little stuff, floorboards. I mean, just huge. Lost all their food in my refrigerator. They forgot to plug it back in. I mean, just huge food and freezer. And I said, well, how much? I'm like, you know, I'm just going to go shopping and pretend I'm just going shopping. I'm not going to let that register because I want to stay healthy. I want to be ready when there's a bigger battle that, you know, and I have that assignment, I'm ready. I haven't been weakened from my own personal battles because I can give them to the Lord because I'm like, okay, God, you knew way ahead of time this was coming. I know you've already planned for it and you've already have the remedy. So when the stuff he needs me out there on the field for, you know, I haven't weakened my armor. I haven't, you know, it says the spirit is weak. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. There we go. So I haven't allowed my weak flesh to weaken my spirit because things do come on you and they are challenging. But when you are under the helmet of salvation, you are powerful. Why? Because you allow God to fight for you. That's the key factor. No, I'm not out there fighting my battle, but I relinquish my anger. I give over to my upsetness. I give over to my stress. I give over to my disappointment. I give over to my anger. And I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to need you to fight. And he does. And every time he wins. Now, if I do me, I'm probably not going to win because there's too much of me in it. God's the only one that lives in the future. And he doesn't have any homework that he has not finished. And all we have to do is when we sign up in his army, follow directions. When you sign up for the artillery, the man's army, what is all that training for? So when they give you a directive, bam, you do it without integrating your thought, without thinking, well, you know, I might have thought of this or because there's one leader and there's one director and he is responsible for all. And you hope and pray that that leader has wisdom and he has enough experience to make those life and death decisions. And everybody has to follow through. You cannot think about yourself. You cannot integrate your personality. None of that. I mean, the first thing you do when you get in any armed regiment is they cut your hair. They make sure your uniform. Everybody looks as one. There's no differentiation in your presentation. And in God's army, what he's asking you to do is just line up with my will. It's a perfect win-win situation. You always win because everything that God has is complete. He's all-powerful. Any and everything that's ever been created was created by him. You can't lose with him. There's no way. As humans, and just talking with different people, so interesting, we pick and choose what parts of God and what parts of the Bible we like. Like some people say, I will only do what's written in red in the Bible. I won't do anything else because those are the words of Jesus. Oh my goodness, who is Jesus? They obviously don't have the knowledge that Jesus and God are one. And that every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord is precious. They obviously do not know that God is all powerful and he's not smart enough to write the things in black that you should know too. But as a human, and I've heard this from seven different people at seven different times in my life. I only go by what Jesus said because I know that he said that. Wow. And you're missing out on every, Jesus was here 3.5 years, but if you read the scripture, he even tells you before Isaiah, let me quote that scripture. He says, I am, you know, give me that scripture, where they're looking at the transfiguration. He says, before Abraham, I was. That's, I think that's how it goes. Or before Isaac, that's the one I was trying to get to. I was and I am. I mean, Jesus says that. So if you're going to go only by the red letter, then go by the red letter and go by what he said. He said, before the Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob, I was. So if he was, then that means he's in the black lettering too. If you want to use your logic, if you want to try to be logical. But people will pick and choose what comfort, like they'll say, I don't need to be in church. The church is in me. Well, it's supposed to be in you, but if you read the word that was written that told you anything about church, it tells you don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. It tells you there's safety in the multitude of counsel. I mean, the scriptures are there. Or are you content with just making up your own stuff because that's logical to you? We don't. A little finite logic is not a comparative to God at all. What are you going to do when he says, trust me? Are you going to do the logical thing? Will this make sense to me? Well, what sense do you really have? I mean, you're one human being, so how much sense is that compared to universes and earths and heavens that God has created? But we as humans, we want to be logical, even with our bodies. So many people I hear say, I love God. He's first in my life, and they do all kind of stuff with their bodies, stuff that God does not approve of, but they love God. And there's a scripture in there that says, why do you say you love me and do not the things I tell you to do? Because it feels good. Well, we can't serve God by how we feel. He says, trust me with all of your heart. We cannot serve God with our senses, what we see, hear, touch, taste and smell. That doesn't create faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. So if you only go by your senses, you know, how you're feeling, what you're seeing, then you're not trusting the Lord. It's really a simple solution in obeying God. Just do what he says and not integrate your logic, because there's you can't compare. We haven't lived in tomorrow. We only have our knowledge based on what we know from our past. And was that significant? You know, what did that teach us? God tells us if we have faith to believe, all things are possible. Now, how could we know that? Only because he said it, and only because we believe it. And let's go through our scriptures that I've chosen. I tell you, the more you read the Word of God, the more your faith is increased. You want this joy, peace, and happiness. You got to use your tools. If you're an artist, you need tools. You need brushes. You need paint. You need paper, you need canvas, you need something. So why wouldn't you use the tool of the Bible? I don't read it very much. I don't do this. And expect to have good results. Well, I try to, it should be the most passionate thing that you're involved with on a daily basis. You know, it's just like bad comparison. But how do you care for your pet? You're going to feed it. You're going to groom it. You're going to spend time with it because it's something that has value to you. Well, God's much more valuable than a pet. He's the one that gives you strength to take care of your pet. So we really want to acquiesce to him. Okay, our scriptures were from John 16, chapter 33, verse. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Wow. Is that huge? Wait a minute, I sneezed. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Wow. So If you flip that, peace only exists in him. Wow. He says, in the world, you shall have tribulations. So that's what you're going to get out of the world. Every day I had a tribulation. I was tried with something huge. I said, oh my goodness. Okay. So I just got to chill back and keep my peace. And then he says, but be of good cheer. Wow. And that's what I was working on. I said, one before I can get one thing done, the next thing. But he said, told me to be of good cheer. I wrote a message once. Cheer up. I'm your cheer team. And here's what he says. How can you be of good cheer? He says, because I have overcome the world. Oh, kazabashanda. I have overcome the world. So it doesn't make any difference what the world dishes out, what the world puts out. God said, I've already overcome it. Already. I've done this thing. I got this. He just appeared and walked with the disciple 3.5 years so that you could see, hear, taste, touch, and feel. When he left, he sent back, he said, I got to go away because I'm going to send a comforter. And greater works shall you do than what you've seen me do, because it was just him doing it and the disciples. But now he sends his spirit, and it can be in any and everybody that will receive it. And he said, you shall have power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. That's the power that you want. And in Matthew, we switch over to 10th chapter, 26th verse. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered. Don't fear man. Don't fear the situation. He says, I've got this. I've already overcome it. Do not fear. Fear have torment. Fear make you sick. Fear stress. He said, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. God's got it. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And when you hear in ear, that preach ye upon the housetop. Whoa. So he already commanded us, get on the housetop. Go, 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 go. Tell about my goodness. And fear them, 28. And fear not them which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now he says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground, and your father will not know it? And he also says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore, for ye are more valuable than any sparrows. Whatsoever therefore you shall confess before me, I will confess also before my Father which is in heaven. He's that conduit. But whatsoever you deny before me, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. So we want to not be ashamed of what God has told us. Don't hide it under a rock. It said, let your light so shine, therefore, amongst men. Be in this army. Sign up for the whole thing. and move yourself out of the way and allow God to be all in all to you. Sign up to win with a God that never, ever loses. He's an awesome God. Be blessed and know that he loves you and I do too. In Jesus' name, amen.